Hello everybody, hope you're all well, hope you've had a lovely Christmas. My name is George, welcome to the FPL Banter Pod. And banter is a key word for me today because I got absolutely bantered all of the football Christmas weekend. For those who remember, I believe when I last recorded this, I took a minus 12, which was understandable given the circumstances. And I felt it was the right decisions, and if I left it like that, it probably wouldn't have turned out as bad as it did. However, the I'm going to say his name wrong, but the Hincapie injury, or doubt, should we say, was getting stronger and stronger, and I was panicking, and I didn't know what to do. And at the end, I was literally 2 hours away from the deadline, and I was going to leave it. I thought, right, I'm just leaving it. I'm just, you know, I'm going to... Captain Ekotike, and hopefully it all works out well. And it would have, because I would have had a little Wilson assist as well. Hincapie would have started. I think he may have got DEFCON, so I would have got a 5 off him, I believe. It might be more, actually, because I'm not sure if he had a bonus. But I would have had, you know, an extra 11 points on top of what happened. So, in the end, on the Slack, Sam said that the football fantasy scout stream is on. And if you don't have a fantasy football scout account or a membership, then you should do, because it is a lifesaver, and you get loads of data and all that on there. The fixture tickers and different articles, and it's great. I love going on there, and it's a great read, and it helps a lot if you want to become a seasoned FPL player, but also if you want to start off naturally, that is the best place to go for advice and tips and all that kind of jazz. So yeah, that was a little fantasy scout plug there. But yeah, I went on the stream, which Sam and Az were on, and I was listening, and they were talking about... Sam was talking a lot about Grealish all week, and she said on it, she said, Grealish is going to be one of them who I talk about all week. I'm not getting wrong. I've talked about all week as a great punt, and he's going to get a hat-trick or something ridiculous. And I bought into that. So Grealish is one of them. And then I thought Hincapie was out. I really did. And really, I should have gone to Keane, but I couldn't go to Keane and Grealish, so I had to sort of think outside the box. And I was like, well, I sold my Brentford asset. I'm going to the game on the Saturday. I'm going to get Van der Berg, because he's a DEFCON monster. He's I think in his last, he got a 5, a 4 and a 7. I thought, okay, sod it, we're going to go there. So I took a minus 20 and for Van der Berg and Grealish. Now, if I'm sure you followed the weekend, but basically, the lineups came out, and Vandenberg had a knock somehow, even though Andrew said nothing about it in his last conference, and Grealish had a virus. By the way, he didn't have a virus, because he was pictured in nightclubs on Boxing Day evening, and he went out on the piss, and he's probably got really, really hungover to a point where he can't walk in a straight bloody line. So he was out. So I took a minus 8 for two players who weren't even playing. So when that happened, I was just like, okay, this week is what it is this week. And, you know, I was at, when the lineups came out, I was at the game waiting for kickoff, and Brentford's 4-1 win softened the blow, which I will talk about in a minute. But yeah, a really bad week, a 35 with a minus 20, a 36 with a minus 20. Really a 16. So I've gone from 93k to 302k, I believe. Look, it was one of them. I got a bit overconfident, a bit cocky, and I kind of... And like I said, the minus 12 made sense, because I wanted... Basically, it was to get more Liverpool assets and... Yeah, and it, you know, Verts and Ekotike, they both got double digit points, so it would have worked out if I just left it as that. But I just got a bit too, I panicked, and it just didn't work out. But considering that, going just down to 300k isn't as bad as I thought it would be. So obviously we move on to this week. We're literally, from the time of recording this, we are literally 23 and a half hours away from the next deadline. So it's a very quick turnaround. And then after Thursday's game, we go again on Saturday. So there's loads and loads of football still in this little Christmas period. I think there's another load again on midweek. So I think there's literally 48-hour gaps to each deadline for the next two game weeks now. So, I mean, it's great for us, but in terms of... The problem is when you have so many Premier League games in a short space of time, this is when injuries happen, and you are going to have to take hits because you're going to have... You know, I at one point I had six flags at one point last week. So, and that's why the hits happened, because I had so many flags and I was panicking. And because my bench was crap, I wanted a full 11 with something to fall back on. But, you know, the struggles of FPL, shall we say. So, yeah, you know my score. We'll go through it. We'll go through the week and then we'll talk about what I've done and what... And I'm basically... I'm set with my transfers, and it's just a captaincy conversation that we will have a conversation about. So let me just get the team up. Bear with me. So yeah, 36 or minus 20, so 16. So Donnarumma got a 2. Dubravka on 11 on my bench. It was never going to be Dubravka after I got Grealish as well. It was like, well, you know. Donnarumma's has three clean sheets in a row, so it was always going to be him. It's just one of them. Chalobah got a 0 after that great game against Aston Villa. Not him, obviously, but which has really made tomorrow night's game, Aston Villa, into a blockbuster fixture. Literally get the popcorn out kind of game. And I can't wait for it. I really can't. As a neutral for that, and as a Premier League neutral in terms of, you know, Brentford ain't going to go competing for the league, are they? So this is a very sit back, relax and watch kind of game. but yeah, no Defcon and 2 goals conceded with... I think you got a yellow card as well. So yeah, 0 for him. Rodon with a 1 came on. He played against Leeds and he had to go off basically at half time because a tackle went in, he rolled his ankle, and that was that, really. He just couldn't continue. Excuse me, sorry. Yeah, Van der Berg with a 0. Richards also didn't play, so that was another 0. So I basically got 3 points in my back line. Normally, my defence is what it keeps me going high in the ranks, but yeah, not this time round. And then we, Anthony Gordon played Boxing Day night, but it was bang on lucky, by the way. On another day, he gets a 7 or even a 10. Like, he put some great balls in and no one was in there to capitalise on it. I mean, credit to United, I thought they actually defended really well. But other than Gordon, no one really turned up for Newcastle in that game. But I'd never really brought him in for that game. I brought him in more for the Burnley game and the really nice run they got. I think they got Leeds as well and Wolves at some point. So that's why he's in, and he's on in, and he is on penalties. Verts, can you debate? Verts came in, got me a 10, got a goal. He almost got an assist for Ekitike as well, who hit the post earlier in that game. So, you know, he could have had a lot more. And shout out to Simon Ward from the Slack, who actually captained Verts. So fair play. Done a really good job. And that was probably the one good decision I made this week of getting Verts in over Cunha. It was the right call. And it was always a case of, right, I'll get Verts this week and then Cunha next week. Foden with a 2. I think the Foden train... Spoiler alert, the Foden train has ended and it's time to get off that Foden train, which I have done this week and we will discuss that in a moment. Having said that, he did have a good effort at goal and he was slightly unlucky not to get something. But yeah, I think when Doku isn't there, Foden has to play more wide, and he drifts into the centre sometimes. But when Doku was there, he was able to basically be next to Haaland, which meant Foden was getting the points, basically. So maybe when Doku's back, we can get back on the Foden train. But at the moment, I think it definitely, if he blanks this week, you can get off the Foden train. Grealish, hungover Grealish, did nothing, as you know. Weren't available, allegedly, so that's that. Saka. Now, Saka got a 7, and I watched Match of the Day, and oh my God, Saka could have had about a 20-point haul. Like, honestly, how is this guy not getting, like, proper hauls? He's ticking over, but I looked at it the other day. He's played 16 games in the Premier League this season. He's only scored 4 goals and assisted 2 of them. Yet he somehow still gets 7s and 8s. That's all very well if he's, you know, if he's costing you like 7 or even 8 million. But he's 10.3. And it's like, are you really getting what you think you should be getting for a 10.3 million player? Obviously, look, if you get off that ride, he could easily hurt you. But his ownership right now is, bear with me, I mean, he's only 21.5% owned. And so I think there's now a narrative that, as good as Saka is, and I love Saka, I think he is a great player, he's not capitalising on these chances and chances he's creating for himself and chances he's creating for Arsenal. It's just not clicking as much as we'd like at the moment. So there is an argument to get off Saka to bolster your defence or your midfield or get that front three you really want. I think after this Villa game, it all depends. I'm going to see how he plays in this Villa game. But there could be an argument to maybe get off the Saka train as well at some point. By the way, if Palmer goes and scores 2 goals against Bournemouth tomorrow, 100%, probably half of the FPL will go from Saka to Palmer. They'll just buy into it and go, right, great, Palmer's back, off we go. And that's what people will do. But Chelsea are, you know, they're bottle jobs at the moment, let's be honest. Sorry, Jonathan, I know you listen to my pods every week and I appreciate you and love you, but Chelsea proper bottled it at the weekend. They're a brilliant first half and they should have put it to bed, and they let Villa get back in the game. Emery doing his tactical masterclass that he always does, and that's how they got back into it. Having said that, Chelsea have a Bournemouth side next tomorrow who, as you know, they just conceded 4 against Brentford. So, and as good as we are, they still conceded 4 against Brentford. If Palmer has a good game, Neto has a good game, Pedro scores another goal, then, you know, you could see people getting off to Saka to try and get some money into that Chelsea attack. Because I think that's what people start to try and do, get involved in Neto or back to João Pedro. Or maybe, as I said, straight swap Saka to Palmer, which I think that would be a very popular move in 2 weeks' time. But, you know, we shall see. And then Haaland got a 2, and Ekitike, my captain, got a 10-pointer with just a 1 assist. I was a little bit disappointed. I think Ekitike especially should have had a lot more this week. But he was a good captain in a load of guff this week. So, yeah, not great. A little bit deflated. As I said, the Brentford win pepped me up a lot. We spoke about it before. When your FPL team has a stinker and then your football team also has a stinker, it's double jeopardy. You literally, you're the lowest of the lows. And, for example, someone like Nicole, who, you know, she didn't have a great game week and Newcastle lost to United, like, that sticks with you and it sucks. But if you know, as I said, I get basically a 16-pointer, but then Brentford going win 4-1, it definitely softens the blow. So we go into tomorrow, basically, and So before I go through, So Donnarumma's in goal. Sunderland away versus Dubravka Newcastle at home. I think Newcastle will score at home. They always do. They're always better at home. And Burnley, you know, they got a really good draw against Everton, but I don't think they'll be able to manage these quick turnaround games now. And I think Newcastle will get two or three at tomorrow. So Donna's in. At the moment, so one of my transfers, Richards, came out. There is rumours he could be fit in the next week and a half to 2 weeks. But yeah, I wanted to get off that Richards. I wanted to get off Palace because basically they look dead. They just look so cring-crackered at the moment. And it was just an opportunity to get some United in for this Wolves at home game. We've said it before, I've said it with Liverpool, if you're getting Wolves at home, you try and get at least one, if you can, two players in against this Wolves side, because they are so bad at the moment. And which is why I was a little bit disappointed with Liverpool, because really I think they should have scored 3, 4, 5 on paper. That's what they should have done. In the end, they just about scraped the win. But yeah, look, if you're getting a Wolves game at home, you get a star player in whatever team that is, even if that's Burnley. If Burnley have Wolves at home, you get Fleming. If Brentford have Wolves at home, you get Thiago. Like, you just get the number nine or the playmaker for whatever team that has Wolves at home. So Dalot's in, and I could have gone Dorgu. I don't know if Dorgu was like a one-game wonder type thing. I know he's basically playing right wing because there's no Mbeumo or Amad. But I think Dalot's more secure. I think Dalot's got more chance of getting DEFCON. I think he's got more chance of also getting an assist, by the way. I like Dalot as a player. I think he's a good player. And I think he's actually one of the better right backs in the league, left back, sorry. I just think he's a solid pick for this week. Whether I keep him in the next 3 to 4 weeks is another conversation, but I think as a 1 week punt, he's a good pick. So Dalot came in. Now my midfield is where Finn's got interested. I was so angry at Grealish that even if he plays against who Everton got. But even if he plays tomorrow or whenever it is, I like, no, don't want any part of Grealish now. Like, just, I at least said it yesterday, the professionalism of that. Christmas Day was the day where you go, you know, that's when you open your presents, eat your turkey, have your Christmas chocolates and have a few bevvies. You don't then go, have Christmas, have Boxing Day, and then Boxing Day night, go to a nightclub and a strip club and walk out of it about half 2 a.m. when you've got a game at 3 o'clock the next, that very day. Like, no. Like, I like Grealish a lot. I think he's a good lad. And I actually think he's a good player. He's not, you know, he's a modern Gazza, isn't he? But subtract the Gazza talent. And just, it's like, come on, like, and you kind of wonder, okay, well, this is why Pep wanted rid of you, kind of thing. He had to go for me. And I said earlier, I think 2 games blanks, this is when you get off Foden. When Foden goes 2 to 3 games with nothing, that's when you can get off him. And with Cunha being the main man at the moment, like he was at Wolves. And to be fair, Cunha was bang on. If you got Cunha last week, you're bang unlucky not to get something against Newcastle. But this, like, it's hard for him not to get something in this game. Like I said, he's the main man. He's literally the guy in that United team at the moment. While Bruno's out, why Amad and Bryan are in AFCON. Mount might even be injured as well, which the only caveat with that, it's like, well, as good as Cunha is, and I do think he's a very good player, he needs someone like Mount next to him. If Mount is injured, then there's a case that maybe Cunha doesn't go as off as we want him to in this game. But so Cunha was basically in Foden, and then Grealish has gone for Chip Cherky, as Sam would call him. Now, Cherky is a baller. Now, I'm not going to go on a tangent and say he's the closest thing to Lionel Messi. I mean, who would say that? Lee Bonfield from FPL Family. He's more of a David Silva. I think, honestly, if you haven't watched the FPL Family stream, watch it. That moment is just absolutely hilarious. I love Lee's little hot takes. And there are some of them where I've agreed with him. But honestly, I listened to that one, I spit out my tea in laughter. Like, honestly, it was just absolutely brilliant. Whether he really believes that or not, I'm not quite sure. But he's more, and Danny said it on the in the chat box on the stream. It's more, he's more of a David Silva, and that rings true. He's a baller, he's getting all the assists at the moment, he scored a good goal against Forest, and I think, and this is the thing with City, right? You'll get a spell where Foden's the main man, he's scoring all the goals, he's getting all the assists, and then another person pops up. Now Cherky's popping up. Reinders also, by the way, he's got two goals in his last two games. He's popping up as well. For a 5.2, if you want to take a punt on again, freeing up some money to go for Reinders, who at the moment has started the last three games for City, same as Cherky, don't mind it at all. But yeah, he is a little baller. And this fixture, the one at home, was the one where he done the Rabona assist. So I think he has Sunderland's number, especially with a load of Sunderland players going to AFCON as well. The only worry is Pep Roulette. As we all know, Pep Roulette can come into play at any moment whatsoever. But yeah, I just thought, right, I'm going to get on him before everyone else does. He may blank this week. He may not do anything, but we're going to have a go. Gordon's still in and Wirtz is still in. And then a front two of Haaland and Ekitike. Now, I'm very happy with that lineup. It was a minus 8, so it means I've taken a minus 28 in two game weeks, technically. But again, similar to the one where I took the minus 12, I think all the decisions I made are fair. You're getting two United players for the easy fixture, Wolves at home. Man United just beating Newcastle 1-0 at home. So if they can do that against Newcastle, surely to goodness they can win 3 or 4-0 here, with hopefully Dalot getting the odd assist. Can you maybe get in a hat-trick? I just think you have to get on this guy now before the other lot come back. And I said, this is, as I've said before, this is too much of a nice fixture to ignore. So I think, yeah, I think that was the right decision for those two. Cherky's more of a punt, but I just feel if he gets a goal or an assist again, against Sunderland, people are going to get on him. So it's more of a case, similar to Wirtz and Ekitike 2 weeks ago, get on this guy before everyone else does. And I think that's another situation we've got here. The only risk is Foden could go, oh, hang on, I'm still here. Why are you selling me? Here's two goals against Sunderland. He could easily do that and burn me. Fine. So, yeah, I'm happy with the minus 8. Now, the only other issue I have is Timber. Timber has not been seen. It's another Hincapi situation. He's not been seen in any of the training videos or photos today. Arteta did a conference, but it wasn't a conference on team news. It was basically a conference of hyping up the game, basically. So I have no idea if Timber's going to start or not. I could, now, this move I was going to do next week anyway. I could go Timber to Gabriel for minus 12, but I really don't want to take another double-digit hit again. Like, honestly, I'm now being touted the next Nigel the Crab, a.k.a. Simon. If you know who he is, you're an OG, by the way. But which I don't want that title. I want to do these moves because I believe it's the right move for my team and can get me more points in the long run. I know taking hits is never the best thing to do. But I think if they're for moves where you believe you're going to get a double-digit haul from a certain player, it is the right thing to do. Now, on top of the minus eight, one of the guys I brought in was Cunha. And if you captain him in three hauls, it obviously makes the hits a lot better. The captaincy situation is what I'm having a conversation with. By the way, sorry, back on... I've kind of gone off track there, but back on the Timber situation, I am 70% sure I'm going to play Timber. If he ain't fit, then I pray to God that Vandenberg is. Apparently, there was a small knock of Vandenberg, and I believe he was just rested for the Spurs game. I think he's probably, next to Collins, he's probably our best centre-back in the league at that... Not in the league. He's the best centre-back in the club at the moment. And I think Andrew saw the way Bournemouth are at the moment and he just didn't want to risk him because he wanted him fit for Spurs. And I think that's a situation we've got here. I think it's the same with Timber. And I think Arsenal are being very clever by just not showing Timber in these videos or photos. I think they're trying to keep that up their sleeve a little bit for this Villa game. I'm gonna stick and hope one of Vandenberg or Timber play. Now, in terms of the captaincy, there is an argument for almost probably every forward and midfielder I have, bar probably Saka because of the fixture. Haaland is Haaland. He's fearful. You get the fear of Haaland. You put it on him because you're not sure where else to go. Ekitike, he scored two goals against Leeds in the last fixture. And there's now no Rodon for Leeds. So the defence is somewhat deflated. Well, it basically doesn't have its star defender, basically. Wirtz, same reason. If you found he's just scored a goal, this might be now where Wirtz goes, hello, this is why you bought me. And to be fair to Wirtz, in his last three games, especially the one against Spurs, he kind of showed like, hello, this is why you bought me kind of thing. I don't think I can trust him yet, but he is an option. Gordon, like I said, bang unlucky not to get some points against Man United. And against a tired Burnley side after they just got a hard 0-0 draw against Everton. Gordon can run this lot ragged. That's an option. If you really believe Cherki is as good as Messi, get on Cherki. 100%. Sunderland away. City are cooking at the moment. Don't mind it at all. Again, Saka. Saka, right. But Villa at home. First versus third. I don't think you're going to throw your hat on him to get a massive haul now. And the other one is Cunha, who, as I've said, is now the main man. Looked really, really good against Newcastle. Unlucky not to get anything against his old club. Like I say, and when Cunha is, oh, hello, I'm the main guy now because you've gone to AFCON and you've done this. This is where he thrived. And I don't hate the captaincy on Cunha. At the moment, it is on Cunha. But it's, for me, it literally, I can make an argument for the names I've just said, Wirtz and Saka, probably not. Ekitike, yes. Gordon, yes. Cherki, yes. But I think if you're going to captain a City player, you just put it on Haaland at the end of the day. And then Cunha, who probably will have the penalties if Man United do get a penalty with Bruno not there. And I just think this guy is the most, probably one of the most talked about topics in FPL for this week. You've got to take a punt and put it on him, I think. 11.7 owned as well, by the way. I thought he'd be a lot higher. It's a differential captain. And I think I'm going to go for it. Because after that minus, basically the minus 28 I've taken in 2 weeks, I think I could either just play it safe. Just go, right, you've taken a lot of hits here. Just put it on the big man. Leave it. See what happens. Or I just do what I've kind of done all season. Gone against him. He blanked in his last game. He's not that good away from home, Haaland. He's a lot. If Haaland's at home, you almost certainly captain him. But I think away, he seems to not be as ruthless as he usually is compared to his home games. So I'm I'm 70 to 30% sure it's going to go on Cunha. There's a case for Gordon, there's a case for Ekitike, and obviously Haaland as well. But my gut feeling says put it on Cunha, and normally with my gut feeling has been right a lot this season. The only thing this team's missing, if you want to have a conversation about who else you can get, I really want Rice, and I think at some point Saka to Rice will be one of the moves I do. I think that's probably the only midfielder that I don't have in my team that I want at the moment. Like I said earlier, there's a case for a Chelsea midfielder. If you want to go in early against this Bournemouth side, who just conceded 4 goals against Brentford, 100%. On the topic of Brentford, Sardé, yes, he just scored a hat-trick. I wouldn't go there because he's one of them players. Lee said it yesterday and he's absolutely right, and I've witnessed it for the last 2 seasons. Sardé is one of them. He will have a great game. He will get a hat-trick and then he'll do nothing for 3 to 4 games. And then he'll score another 2 in that 5th game. He's one of them. I love him and he's so rapid, but I wouldn't go there. And the other thing this is missing is an Everton defender. They have a really nice run coming up and you want to get on that Everton defence because that's what David Moyes does. He develops a solid defensive team. And I think I saw a stat where Everton have kept 5 clean sheets in their last 8 games. So, and with the nice run Everton have coming up, you kind of want to get a Keane or you can maybe sell your Donnarummas and your Reyes to then get Pickford in just to get some money in your team. And I don't hate a Newcastle defender either. I know they've not been great away from home, but I think at home you can potentially get on that Newcastle defence. I'm more confident with Everton than Newcastle defensively at the moment, but you could go there as well. That's it. By the way, after this game week, we got all our 4 chips back. So if you're in the mud and you need to plan your chips, definitely do that. If you're not in the mud and you're around that, like me, the 300k mark or even in the million mark, you know, plan it wisely because this is where the blanks come in, the double game weeks come in. As certain teams go further in competitions like the Champions League and the FA Cups and the League Cup, there will be the odd blank and double game week. So try and keep those chips ready and waiting for those events because that's when people cash in on it. They are coming. So if your team is in the mud, then wild card is available next game week. That's it really. I've rambled a bit. I hope you've enjoyed it. Before I go, Happy New Year to you all. Thank you for the original lot who listened to me and you know, you're coming to Slack. Kelly's coming to Slack recently and said how great it is, and Jonathan always messages me to say how good the pod was. Steve, Louise, Fiona, Claire, Duncan, I know you all do as well, so much appreciated. I love you all. Happy New Year. Green arrows.